It's messy up there.
Thomas Middleton.
Go sniff around.
Hi, Thomas.
Are you doing it now?
Yeah, if you feel like it.
Yeah.
Put on the cans. Yep, grab the. That's a penis.
This is a vagina.
No. you can take it apart if you want to. Oh. If you get nervous or.
Oh.
You know. Huh. We do have a vagina over there.
Actually. Where is the vagina? I haven't seen it. Where is it?
Yeah, I'll go grab it. Look at us. No. Both of us, Sim, you and I both know where it is.
I see it.
We are too lazy to get
it. I don't see it.
No, that's another penis. Why are these such a large part of your show?
Hey, Anna, will you move the microphone closer to...
Oh, like this?
There you go.
Oh.
How do you feel about this?
Yeah.
I know. It's going to bother me. I know. Perfect. I hate it, too.
Anna was hitting Thomas's face with the microphone.
Oh. Sim, the great narrator. dear listeners, I'm a little annoyed with Sim, but more importantly, Thomas Middleditch is our guest tonight. I'm a huge fan, of course, of Silicon Valley. And that's how I'm going to lead you in. I'm wonderful.
Can I say something to him?
Yeah.
I wanted to say that Silicon Valley is my all-time favorite show.
It is so fucking good. It's so good.
Whoa,
you know,
thank you.
And you know what? And you are such a huge part of it because your natural, I see your generosity as a comedic actor because you are navigating the trickiest by far role like on television.
Oh, no, like, that's not true.
You do it so beautifully. No, because you have to be, you have to indicate to the audience the emotional level.
Right.
And so you have to sacrifice probably you being the driving force doesn't always allow for insane quirkiness.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying, right?
I do.
And you're so fucking brilliant. It is you carry the audience with their love of Pied Piper.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say.
I don't let you talk. This is called the compliment podcast.
Yeah, that's great. That makes me feel really good. Maybe one day I'll be finally crowned Prince of Hollywood.
Well, you're Canadian. You don't always allow.
The foreigners.
Yes.
Not in this America.
No.
Thank you very much. It's been a life-changing experience, that's for sure. But I think, the real meat of the old show is the writers. It's a writer's show. They got a great staff. You got the old Mike Judge. You got the old Alec Berg.
Right.
And you got all those other funny boys.
Yes.
Kumail, Zach, Martin, Tajay.
But I love it that you all are bring your clearly your own point of view
as
an actor, and I don't know. It makes it such a great show because your characters are all so well defined.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't really a question, was it?
No.
No, it wasn't.
No, but I can say thank you at the end of
that,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Unless there was a prompt to elaborate on my thank you.
Where do you guys shoot that show?
We shoot it here in Los Angeles, California.
How do you like LA?
I do like it.
You do? What do you like about it?
I don't know. I think I've summed it up in past statements as it's kind of a mix of... a metropolitan world, you know, a city, but a bit of bohemia, a bit of sort of like awareness as to other things. Now that is, you can point to a million examples as to why that's not the case. There's plenty of flippant, self-absorbed people in this city, but I would argue that they're everywhere. That's life. But I like that it feels like a big city, but it's... yeah, I don't know. There's plenty of my types, I guess. I found my tribe, more or less. I also think California is a really cool state. It's very varied.
Yeah. There's,
if you like a break from the city and care to enjoy the wilderness, California has it in spades. The Sierra Mountains,
I love like that we have an Irish, a sort of a man of slight Irish heritage promoting the state of California.
Come to California, will you? See the mountains and the lakes and all that. ski, and then go right on down to surfing. Yeah.
This is the regional commercial we air in Dublin.
Yeah. Sweet, cheap airline tickets.
I love LA because I think that it really does offer young people a chance, or people who have more than any, it'll dismiss you, you know, but it really does, there isn't any other industry or place in the world that I think gives opportunity.
It is the end of the line in terms of the Hollywood Express. Naturally, it's called the Hollywood Express. But yeah, there's a lot to be done in the entertainment industry. But I also like the city even outside of that. I know plenty of people who aren't in the business and they're
you
all
do?
Up to cool stuff.
Yeah. I don't know a lot of them.
I will admit most of my pals are involved in some way.
But I think that I've definitely, without meaning to, just out of busyness, just shrunk my social circle.
Oh, yeah.
Especially being married, having a kid, it's, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So now it's just Sim.
It's just the two of us.
Yep, so I don't get out much.
Okay.
But do any of your friends, like before you actually started on Silicon Valley, before you became in the public eye, I'm sure you had a bunch of friends. Now, what happens after you've achieved some type of success? Now, what happens to your friends then? Do they still stay your friends, or do they get annoyed that you're busy all the time? Do they think maybe you're a little big time?
I'm a big time hot shot.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what happens to your old friends once you've actually finally broken?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's been some people that have changed opinions of me and. As I did at one point, I'm sure, of other people. But I'm not sure how much that is attributed to success and more just us sort of shaking hands and being like, we're better as acquaintances. I've probably always had the same amount of friends. I've never been one to carry on with many, many close friends. Lots of acquaintances, lots of people I know, lots of people I forget the names of.
Yes.
Even people I shouldn't, even people I've met many times and I've known for years, and I look them right in the eyes and I just don't know who
they
are.
I just hug people.
Yeah.
Just hug them.
Hey, dude.
Great to see you.
Yeah, that's an embarrassment, but still a fact. But yeah, in terms of core level of friends, there's always a smaller number. It's around it's an under 10. It's a single digit number usually. I hope not too many people have changed their opinion of me, those who knew me.
I have.
Then that's fair. I have become a mess.
No, but...
No, I'm a real bitch.
I feel like success has made you amazing.
Made me an amazing bitch. Rare. This kitty's got claws. I think success changes everyone in some way. I really do. I think it's pretty much impossible for you to go through this old thing without something changing you. Even if it's just temporary. Mm-hmm. And even if when you come out, you're even better. But you're going to have a moment where if you were looking at yourself, you'd go, no, sweetheart, we don't do that.
I have a delusion that people want to hear my voice and like what I'm saying. Whereas like before, nobody gave a shit. So I didn't talk. And so now I talk and I noticed on set, like actors making these grand pronouncements of boring shit.
Oh, yes.
In front of the crew.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, I was so, like, I got held up at the thing, and then, what a day. Oh my God, Trump, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys, wait, so what's happening today? And, like, the whole crew, they have to be rolling their eyes back into their skulls. And I've thought about, like, how suddenly... I assume that people will think what I'm saying is interesting because I am now famous.
That's many actors.
Yes, it's so fucking horrible.
Yeah, I found that most, and this isn't to sound elitist, I just think in comedy you require a certain sort of sarcasm about the world, a certain sort of kind of like everything is absurd and everything is ridiculous, therefore it's all on the chopping block to potentially make fun of, including myself, including everything. But like earnestness is a killer of comedy. And boy,
really?
I think so sometimes.
Oh, because I would totally argue the opposite. But maybe we're defining it in different ways.
It's possible. Where I'm going with this is that like, you know, a lot of straight actors who are just earnest.
I see what you're saying.
End up having their head up their own ass more.
Yeah.
I'm not saying no comedian has his head up his ass. But that is totally true. But like without the sort of like third eye of realizing how everything is absurd, you kind of sometimes tend to forget that it is. I'm knocking the penis and vagina diagrams.
But also like Hollywood provides a really ripe training ground for that, to become that. Because,
to become up your ass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have PAs, like, knocking, like, people are telling you where to be at any given moment.
Yes.
Like, in assuming that you're a child, you are going to start behaving like a child.
Yes. And not only that, is if you even achieve some modicum of success, you have people, just strangers coming up and being like, I like you in some way.
Right.
I like what you do. Can I get a selfie or something? And you just walk around with this sort of like, wow, I am very important.
Right.
I must be a god amongst men here.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, for me, a very sobering national event was this election where essentially half the country was like, you're not important, like screaming, even if they maybe don't believe it. That's what they wanted us to know. And it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
So sometimes you got to listen up, I think.
So the other day, Chris has been going through, he gets into crazy like spring cleaning mode.
Uh-huh.
I am getting to sort of a weird roundabout-y point here.
Oh,
but
you can go around the mulberry bush.
So he's cleaning out stuff and he's throwing away stuff like mad, and it's kind of annoying me.
Like mad crazy.
Yeah, like a little mad crazy, like throwing away my books and doing shit like that. And, you know, he sort of, they're books that I have never read and nor will I probably
ever
read.
The Internet for Dummies?
Right. So yeah, shit like that. But he grabbed, he like found a Men's Fitness that he's on the cover of.
Ooh, and I bet he's so cut. He's got his pack. I bet he's got his cheese grater on his
skin. He looked hot. But he was like, should I keep this? And I said, yeah, honey, we have to keep that. And then I thought about it and I was like, well, why should we keep it? And then I think I came up with a really, really good reason why to keep Chris's Men's Fitness's covers, which is if we get invaded by aliens.
Yes.
We have no way to communicate with them.
Okay.
We could point to the magazine covers so they would understand that we are, you know, we shouldn't be necessarily slaughtered.
You're
that we
famous.
Are, that we're leaders.
You're famous enough to not get slaughtered.
We're leaders amongst our people.
That'd be great if the alien invaders were obsessed with fame.
They're
big fans of Hollywood. You show them the cover, they're like, we already know.
We're the only ones that are spared.
Yeah,
so you got to save, like, start saving, your shit, man.
I save stuff.
You got to be able to prove it to the lock nerds.
I have even the lock nerds. That sounds like lake nerds, like a Scottish nerd, the loch nerds. Anyway, I have a little wall of accomplishments where I put, like, little snippings and stuff like that, just because I also think at any moment it's all going to go away. Or skip to I'm 90 and not working and I can be like, oh, look at all these things I've done. Same way, I hope if I had another type of job, I would save my accomplishments as well.
Yeah.
My various famous math equations.
If you had another job,
because
what
I'd
would
be
it
a
be?
Mathematician.
No, I'm
absolutely dog shit at math. I don't know. What would you? I have two ideas. What would your answer be?
Oh,
you've got a chronic medical condition that if you act one more line, you die. So now, right now, not as if you're starting when you're younger, you have to jump ship and do something else.
I'd like to be a producer.
Oh.
So does it have to
it's
be
still
something
in
that?
No, it does. I mean, it can be. It can be whatever you like.
I'd like, well, but it,
or maybe you're now you're 19.
You know,
you're 19. You can start over with anything.
I have two. I'd like to be, even though they don't exist anymore, like a travel guidebook writer.
You could do that
in blog format.
They
exist in digital, right? Like for internet.
Mm-hmm.
That. Or I do have a fantasy, and I think it just is because I've been in Hollywood too long, but I have a fantasy of being like a goat cheese farmer. Like
that is
really, really good goat cheese.
You own the land and your goats. Goats are interesting. They're being used also to like clear brush because they fucking eat anything.
Yeah.
So you go under power lines and clear up brush with goats.
I need a double duty animal.
Yeah. More like double duty because of the poops. I'm killing it.
But wait, you didn't answer the question. What would it be?
Okay, two ones. Always, I've been into video games since I was a wee boy. I love games. I don't think I have the passion for programming, but there's all kinds of other occupations within video games, either concept art or PR or something. But to work at a development studio would be pretty cool for video games.
Yeah.
Or
uh-huh.
I've also had a long time love affair with aviation, and if I had if I had maybe at 16 decided to join the Air Cadets, which was kind of like, you know, Royal Canadian Air Force, Air Force. That's that old comedy show I just accidentally quoted. Royal Canadian Air Force. It's like Boy Scouts for them. If I had the sense to join up with those rascals, I may have, I don't know, got my wings through the service or something like that. Which
would you
cool.
ever want to like fly commercial jets around the world?
Not commercial jets.
Fighter jets?
I don't think I've got the natural abilities for that. I'm not sure. I don't know. I've got my pilot's license now, which is a joy. So I don't know how that would have evolved back then, but it would have been cool. I think what would have been cool, you know, if I'd have stayed up in Canada and stuff, is to be a helicopter pilot, because you can do, there's a lot of jobs there for that in the logging industry and stuff. It would be pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Fly in tree planters into remote locations, and that'd be cool.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to be like a cute, well, hope maybe, I'm a little, you know, 40-year-old fire jumper.
Yeah.
And well, this is our rom-com. Yeah. Man, it's my dream job.
Same here. Wait, look at us living our lives to the fullest.
Oh, you have a little dirt on your cheek.
That's not dirt. It's my own shit. Because that's also part of my dream, is that I eat my own poo. I'm a chopper pilot and I eat my own excrement. Been that way for 20 years, so... Of course, I started in the service, Royal Canadian Air Force.
Oh, wait. Can we back it up to the other thing you just said, though?
Yeah, yeah. Auntie.
You eat your own shit. I know that you're a pilot, but you eat your own...
Yes. It's the only way to stay alive out here in the bush.
Really? Because...
You don't want to have a tail strike and then not be eating your own shit. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. Well, the only thing is because I thought that you got those, like, ration boxes.
Yeah. Stuff. I chew through those like a motherfucker. And then, guess what? They're coming out, and I'm still hungry, so shit eating. If you have it, you can eat my shit if that makes you more comfortable, or you could eat your own shit, and I'll just watch and guide you through it.
When?
It's pretty simple. You just grab it and shove it in. So I guess sometimes I miss because you commented on my shit on my face now.
Where did this lisp come from?
What?
How did you discover this lisp all of a sudden for this character?
Oh, just, you know, sort of like... It's the type of guy who's like, yeah, it's like those guys.
I want to see this rom-com so bad.
It's like you ever sort of just casually chit-chat with someone. They'll usually be like on a set, they'll be like deep grip electric or something that you've seen once, or like the snake wrangler or something. And you're like, hey, and his name's like, I don't know, like what a snake wrangler name.
Duke.
Like Duke, or like... Carlisle, or I don't know, like, I don't
Carlisle,
know,
Star like Search Carlisle. Or something.
And you're like, hey man, how's it going? Oh, well, I got pretty good. I had to put my dog down today. And you're like, oh, Jesus. Yeah, you know, a lot of pending charges. But yeah, sun's shining. All right, man. I regret asking.
Yeah, like the conversation you don't want to get into.
Anyway, you got to come out here and get all these snakes. Otherwise, you know, you could buy chin. You probably only have about 6 minutes to live, and that's obviously we have animated him. I've got to hear him. And they're always making an answer. All right, everybody. You know, there are snakes. They are there in the wind.
Oh God! Oh, yeah. That's like the need to be heard, right?
Yeah, I think that's okay. I didn't mean it in a negative way. I just it's an observation.
No.
I'm very tender lately to make sure I, even if I'm jesting and ribbing, it's not with the intent of being malicious.
I don't sense that you're a very malicious person by nature.
Well, I mean, I've that's never been part of my game, but I think it's in response to, I just quit Twitter because I was just, even if it wasn't directed at me or other people, it's just maybe even out in the ether, it was just like, it scrolled through and it's just like, God, everyone is so mean.
Yes.
Everyone is just so angry and mean. I don't want to be accused of like being a hypocrite of like, how dare you accuse, how dare you promote niceness, but you're also a catty little bitch.
Right. So anyway,
that's enough of that.
Deal breakers?
Let's do it.
Or, okay. So we're going to imagine you're single.
As I do every day.
How long have you been married?
Coming up on 2 years. So it's pretty new.
Congrats.
That's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, sure. You should say congratulations if I've said I've been married 20 years. That's where you should say congratulations.
I didn't know what to say. You weren't elaborating, so I just threw it in there.
Oh, what's to elaborate on almost 2 years? One month.
But then just silence?
Oh, sure. Right. No, it's great. I mean, it's the same. I say it's the same as not being, as just being, as dating, except now, like, the state of California has a vested financial interest in the outcome of your marriage. But other than that, it's the exact same thing, you know?
I had an actress once say to me, I said I was getting married, and she said, oh, you're getting married. Marriage is so much fun. And I remember thinking, and I don't mean to, like, put her down, because I feel like that might be something that I would say out of, like, not knowing what to say.
Right.
But the idea of, like, describing marriage as fun makes it seem like it's a ride at Six Flags or something. You know, like, it's when it's a complicated... It's
super complicated. In this business, my God, it's very, very complicated. I think if you're to get married, probably in any business, really, you have to be marrying a very good friend of yours, like your best friend. And also, ideally, a best friend that you want to, you know, fool around with in between the sheets.
What you guys do then? Okay.
What do we do? Well, I'll tell you. First, shit on the bed.
Disgusting.
But for the purposes of this segment we're going to...
You're single.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. I've been
there
before.
Okay, deal breakers. She doesn't watch R-rated movies.
Just as a rule? As like a morality rule?
You can ask her.
Hey, babe, why don't you watch R-rated movies?
I hate the letter R.
Fucking get out. I love R. My favorite letter.
No, you don't understand. My grandma...
Was killed by an R?
No, we all called her R, but I think she was a Nazi. So I hate the letter R.
Oh, okay. Well, still, I like R-rated movies. I'm sorry.
I just don't want you to ever watch them.
You can't control me.
Okay, but we fucked really good.
Yeah, we fucked nasty, and that's not in contention. It's the controlling. Excuse me? Hey, Samantha. It was fun. Let's keep it cash.
You're a dick.
Hey, man, this is single Thomas. You're damn right I'm a dick.
Okay, she lets it slip. She has another date tomorrow night. So you're on a first date.
Oh. If we're on a first date, I won't hold that against her.
Really?
In this day and age, come on.
Because Sim has strong feelings.
Well, it depends. Well, it depends how interested I am in her. How did the date go? How's the date going?
Sim described it. Because this was his collaboration here. He described it as going, you're vibing really well. Vibing? Oh.
Yeah, you're having a great time on the first date.
Oh, we're having a great time.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can be honest. I think you can say, I really enjoyed tonight. I really liked it. I'd like to, I'm a little bummed that you're going on another date, but I get it. You know, you just met me.
My argument is that I feel like there's a specific kind of person that would let it slip. Because I don't think I would.
Oh, you just wouldn't. Yeah, you wouldn't disclose it.
Right. And I think there's another kind of person who
would.
But Sim had a strong argument because he's like, when you go out on Tinder dates, you're talking about Tinder all the time, or like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you'll, you know, since you met on Tinder, you talk about how's Tinder going for you, and then you'll talk about past dates, and then maybe it'll slip that you have other dates lined up because you have a whole like queue of people that you are.
That sounds like a date that's vibing more in a friend category.
Friend that you don't have time for anymore.
A friend that you don't have time for. If you sort of are forthwith with the fact that that person's not the only one, you maybe just be like, this is really comfortable in a sort of friendly way.
Right, which means it's not going to go
further. You should try Bumble. I hear that's pretty...
Are you telling me to try Bumble?
Are you single?
This is my girlfriend right here.
Oh, I didn't know. You said you were going on Tinder dates. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. I'm out of here.
We did meet on an app, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if
and I made her cancel on a date, before our second date.
Oh, that's nice.
See?
Yeah.
Very forceful. Women like that.
Exclusivity, date one.
Nice, nice. There's also Raya for the famous rich.
The celebs,
How do you get on that? Do you have to is it like applying to the Academy?
Yeah, it's like Soho House. You have to be recommended and to apply, and then you have to be recommended to someone who's already in.
That's so weird.
Yeah. That's the only one that you could go on should you be single tomorrow. That would be the only one that could ever you couldn't go on another one.
Me?
Yeah.
Would you ever go on a dating app if you were single?
God, I've never really. I guess. Because that's how you meet people now. But
well, no, you can meet them other ways.
But I don't. But I don't know. Like the idea of like a celebrity exclusive one.
It's got. I can only imagine that attracting some of the darker elements of Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would I be? I feel like I'd be matched up with Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta.
And I'd be terrified.
Ray Liotta. I tell you what. I saw a young Ray Liotta recently on that Disney movie Dumbo Drop.
What'd you think?
He is a spicy meatball. Yeah, he dropped it. A nice hot elephant right in the middle of Vietnam. He is a sexy man in that film.
Dumbo Drop.
Donald Glover. No, I mean, Danny. Whoa. Danny Glover also no slouch either, but he's a bit older there.
Yeah.
But Ray Liotta, achi chachi.
Okay, she borrows your toothbrush after your first sleepover without asking.
The old Thomas would be upset about it, but the new one.
Oh, I don't really who's care. The new one?
The new one's just
chiller?
Yeah, just a little bit more chiller. What? Have I noticed that she's got a dank ass mouth? Like, is it stank in there? Or is it like, oh, she had a nice mouth?
Well, you spent the night with her.
So I kissed.
Yeah.
And did I have the reaction of like, ooh, that's a nice mouth or a bad mouth?
I don't know. I didn't think.
Did we have a great evening together? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? You had a B+. Like there were a couple good sex. There were a couple of things that she said that were slightly obnoxious.
Oh, okay. Well, you know,
but just a couple.
I wouldn't make a fuss out of it. I would kind of be like, well, that's weird that she didn't ask. And then maybe next time over, I would be like, hey, here's a toothbrush for you.
Wait, the fact that she didn't ask is the one that's the part that'll bother.
I don't know.
Me.
If everything else was okay, really, that's going to be the deal breaker. What am I, Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah, wouldn't really.
Would it bother you?
Who am I, Larry David? It doesn't matter.
No, that's because I haven't had like one night. You know what I mean?
You've never had a one nighter,
but not since a while. Really? I mean, I had a weird thing in college, but not really. Like, so what I'm saying is, I feel like my only experience is if I've had a one nighter, I'm really liking this guy.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
My tendency is to overlook a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying it would be a red flag, but I'm just saying personally I would totally let it go. Does that mean I'm desperate?
No. Look, I get why she would want to use my toothbrush. It's a Philips Sonicare like like diamond black model.
That's
like
a whole
premium.
Different thing. Like, what if she uses the Phillips without asking.
I mean, I would just be like, I understand. I may even slide up and be like, isn't it good?
Did you get that Phillips thing in a gift bag?
Yeah, it's swag for sure. Actually, it's someone else's swag. Yeah. It's insane. That element of the industry is pretty bonkers too.
You're out on a date with a girl.
Nice. That's very good.
And she is in PR. And she's telling you all about her really busy schedule.
Okay. It's a little boring.
She says schedule.
And she does say schedule?
Schedule.
So she's boring me with her busy work life.
I shouldn't have added that part. What if she's really interesting, but she still says schedule?
So she's not in PR anymore?
No.
She's got a really interesting job and she says schedule?
She just got back from the Peace Corps. Where her schedule consisted of hauling mud from point A to point B.
I like how you think that my ideal interesting date is with someone from the Peace Corps. You don't know me very well. I'd be interested, and I wouldn't care. I think that would be funny. I say words weird on purpose all the time. I couldn't list them for you, but I know I do.
But even like if she's not British, she's just saying she's American. She says schedule.
And with there's no curl of the lip. There's no like, I know I'm doing it.
Not really. She also says that she can't wait to have children.
You just added that.
And she wants to go to Ibiza.
I'll say, let's keep it casual. Let's keep it casual. And if she's down to keep it casual, then that's fine.
She is nuts. She has a busy, busy schedule.
She wants to get it. She wants to get a ring on it.
She's got a schedule to keep it here too. Gotta get that baby. She sleeps with all the lights on.
Oof, that'd be tough. I'm a light sleeper and kind of I have bouts of insomnia, so that'd be a deal breaker.
You put a light eye mask on? Or?
I do, but I mean, with the lights on, not a nightlight, full lights.
Yeah,
that's tough. Not for a serious relationship. I keep it casual. There's, yeah. For keeping it casual in the world of Tommy Mids, there's a very large net. Very, very easy to keep it casual with old Tommy Middleditch. But if we want seriousness, then like if we want future, then yeah, I can't do that. I'd be wide awake all night.
When do you have that conversation with her, though? If you're keeping it casual in the beginning, everything's great.
Yeah.
Then when do you tell her?
I say, hey, how attached are you to sleeping with the lights fully on, bright? How do we feel about this?
Well, because part of the problem is that when I was a kid,
uh-oh,
I had some, there was just some things that happened.
Yeah.
And so I don't like darkness.
Okay.
So I don't want to like tell you everything that happened.
And I get that. And you don't need to. You really don't. Okay.
No,
well,
I mean, I would love to sometime.
Yeah,
I
maybe
mean,
sometime. But not now.
Maybe now.
No.
I don't.
It's all right.
Here's the thing.
Oh, it's a wee boy.
Hi, Jack.
Oh, Jack is here.
Hi, honey bunny.
Wow.
Hi.
Mommy.
What? Oh, yay. You got me a rock. Thank you.
Hello.
Jack, can you say hi to Thomas?
Hi.
Hi, Jack. I'm Thomas.
Hi, bunny. Oh, you're not coming in to kiss me. You're coming in to take over.
He's putting on the headphones right now.
Ask me a question, Jack.
Hello.
That is a statement.
Can you ask a question?
What's your favorite color?
You know, call me classic, but I enjoy a nice blue.
Oh.
What about you?
Black.
Black? Well, I hate to break it to
you. A nice black.
That's a shade, but fair enough. A nice black.
Yeah, I'm for dinner.
He's having fun. He's not taking off his headphones. Oh, he just
I love you,
bud. See you.
Bye, Jack.
Bye, Jack.
Cowabunga.
What'd you say?
Bye.
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 Toodaloo.
That was my son.
A real boy.
A real boy.
A human boy. Made from genes and cells. Peanut butter and banana was a sandwich I had every day for about like 15 years of
really?
Going through school. Yeah,
that's
my mom made my sandwich that. Until I was 18 years old.
So Elvis used to eat that, right?
And always peanut butter and banana.
Yeah,
peanut butter and banana is Elvis's favorite meal.
I think it was peanut butter and like bacon and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I didn't know about the bacon.
Do you still eat it now?
No, not so much. But I mean, I love peanut butter. I never stop eating peanut butter. I'm a big peanut butter boy.
Is it, but do you have like cravings for peanut butter and banana? No? No nostalgia?
From time to time, I do embark.
Because that's a long time to eat a peanut butter and
I know.
Sandwich.
I think that's maybe why I'm like, I don't need it all the time anymore.
Yeah. No, I would crave variety.
Yeah. That was my, variety was my kryptonite growing up. I was a very picky eater. Don't you think I was?
What was your, because Sim is too, it was. Like, didn't like
still
a lot
am.
Of vegetables.
Yeah. Oh. See, I reached a point where I think I had sushi for the first time. I was like 20, 21. I had it for the first time. I was like, what? You mean this was out there the whole time? And I just
liked it right away?
100% right away. And then I had a very profound moment of like, okay, I'm going to try everything. And now in my 30s, I've limited myself by trying to eat less and less meat. I don't know. It's kind of being a Hollywood douchebag about it.
Hollywood douchebag with Thomas Middleditch. We're going to take a 5-minute break.
And then we're going to do calls.
Oh.
Calls will be fun.
Is this a live one?
No.
Oh.
I like the way you asked that, though.
All right, we're back. What do you think, Anna? Should we get the calls?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Thomas, you ready for this?
Yeah, sorry. I was just looking at the inside of
my
penis.
No, don't be sorry. I'm just asking if you're ready.
It's kind of fascinating, right?
Well, you know, it fills the blood. That's the thing. That's the big deal. That's what everybody's talking about.
If you could have a retractable penis, would you?
If it's retractable, does it also mean it's extendable?
Ooh, never been asked that before.
I don't know. Have you seen an elephant's penis? They're kind of prehensile, like their trunks. Like they like drop down and like kind of find the vagina. That would be cool.
That would be like an eel. Or like, remember, what was that movie when we were kids with the thing, the ball that like zoomed around?
What?
The ball that zoomed around?
Oh.
The slinky?
It's not the Navigator, but it's some...
Labyrinth? No. Labyrinth was
Was it a movie?
Maybe it was Avatar. When we were kids. Idea. I have no idea. I don't know what I'm talking about. I was just thinking about an elephant's penis finding its way to a vagina, and I really didn't want to think about it, so then I started thinking about old movies, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
All right, let's do this. We're going to call Katie first, and Katie is in Utah, and she's 30.
Is it a Skype?
You're not going to see her. It's just Skype audio.
Hello?
Hey, Katie. How are you?
Hi, Katie.
Oh, this is Kelly.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
I called
hi, Kelly.
I called you Katie, and it says Kelly right here. I'm so sorry. And Kelly, I spoke to you yesterday. I apologize.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, Kelly.
Hi, guys.
And I'm reading it right now, too. What's
wrong
with you?
I'm sorry, Kelly. How are you?
Don't worry about it. I'm great. How are you, Anna?
Really, really good. Really good. We've got Thomas Middleditch here from Silicon Valley, and he's... resting his head against the microphone in an uncomfortable way.
Hi, it's me, Thomas.
Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Kelly/Katie.
You can call me whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
Oh, girl, don't go there because you know I will. How's Utah right now? Is it snowy?
No, it's actually really beautiful. It's been like 70 degrees the last few days, so it's been really nice.
Achi-chachi.
Kelly, what's going on with your husband and his parents?
Okay, so my husband and I have been married for about 4 years, and we're kind of going through an issue with my in-laws who are Mormon. Both my husband and I grew up in Mormon households, which is typically very strict. Like, we can't drink coffee or alcohol, no premarital sex. You got to go to church every Sunday, pay like 10% of your gross income. There's just a lot of different rules.
Sounds chill.
Sorry, what was that?
I said it sounds chill.
Oh, super chill. And when my husband and I met, I was trying to like throw myself into the church and like as like a last ditch effort to like really believe in it. And my husband was kind of on the outs with it. But we were always really like honest with each other about how we felt about the church. And we ultimately decided that Mormonism just wasn't for us. So we stopped going to church altogether. And then we officially left the church about a year after we were married. And that's like a huge deal in the Mormon community, because like you have to write an official letter, stating that you want your name removed from the records of the church, and it cancels like your baptism. It like cancels everything you did in the church. So like, it's a big deal to do that. And my parents initially had kind of a hard time with it, but like they've respected our decision, and we can be ourselves around them and my siblings. Like, they're super chill and just love us no matter what. But my in-laws don't really respect our decision. And even though we left the church officially 3 years ago, they still don't accept our lifestyle. And they're really great people. They're really amazing, and we love them like so much. But there's just this rift in our relationship because of this change in beliefs. And they just can't, we're kind of losing our good relationship with them because they can't see past us like not following those arbitrary rules that we have been following our whole lives up until 3 years ago. And it's gotten pretty severe. Like, my mother-in-law has told my sister-in-law that she thinks my husband's an alcoholic and he's suicidal because like we drink alcohol because we're in our 30s.
Okay, wait, so your mother-in-law, who did your mother-in-law tell?
My sister-in-law, so her daughter.
And your sister-in-law relayed this back to you?
Yes, she told my husband that their mom had said that to her. So it's getting like, she's thinking these crazy things that are not even close to being true about us just because like we drink coffee or we drink alcohol. Like, she just thinks like we're bad people.
So, and but I'm curious about her, the way she's going about this. She doesn't exactly say that to, she's not up front with you guys. Instead, she says stuff to other people about you guys, or is she up front with you guys as well?
She's kind of passive aggressive in the way that she talks about it to us. Like, if we go down to visit them, they live like 2 hours away from us. And if we go to visit them over a weekend, sometimes she'll say like, oh, you missed a really good church today. Like, we learned about this and this and this. And we're like, okay, that's great. Glad you had a good time. But like, she's never really come out and said like, hey, I'm really worried about you. You know, like now that you're not Mormon anymore, I don't know what you're doing. So she's not very upfront about it.
When that bombshell sort of landed with the sister-in-law saying that, telling you, relaying that pretty heavy information, was your husband upset by that? What was his reaction to?
Oh yeah. He's nodding his head right now. He was more hurt by it because like, I mean, we're not super like full of ourselves, but we think we're good people, you know, like we do
right.
things for the
no,
people.
Of course.
But like,
I'm just thinking that it's kind of on your husband to talk to his parents. You know, I mean, you guys are a team and you're doing this together. But I think especially when that kind of poisonous information, like, you know, if her believing, wanting to believe stuff that isn't true, I think that your husband kind of needs to tackle this one with his mom. And I think that you kind of maybe take the back seat a little bit, you know, be supportive and be, amazing and friendly to them, as I'm sure you would. But I think that your husband probably needs to take the lead on this. And if he wants to have a really good relationship with his parents, it's kind of up to him to say, look, I don't know what you guys believe about our lifestyle. I want to lay it out for you and I want to have a good relationship with you. How can we accomplish these things?
When I was talking to Kelly yesterday on the phone, she was telling me that they're strongly considering pretending to be Mormon just for his parents because they're not accepting at all. Is that right, Kelly?
Yeah, definitely. And two of my husband's siblings actually they don't really believe in the church anymore, but they've like decided that they will never let their mom know that they don't believe in it anymore because they're so scared that the way that we're being treated is the way that they'll end up being treated. So it's like, do we pretend to be Mormon or do we like try to like live authentically? Like, what do we do?
I think that pretending to be Mormon would be a temporary solution to a long-term problem.
It's also and it's living dishonestly.
Living dishonest and exhausting
that's
for
that's
you
the
guys,
thing that you're
you know?
Wanting to change
yeah.
about your
yeah.
lives is that you want to be yeah. a more honest and authentic.
Yeah. And I think, I really think that it is kind of, I think you need to tell your husband, honey, I think that maybe you should have a really candid talk with your parents and tell them how important it is for, you know, us to have a relationship with them because you love them. And, you know, I think your husband has to be really candid with his parents and see if there's an opening there. Because I think that it's not necessarily something that you can do on your own because he's their son.
I guess we're also kind of wondering, like, are we overreacting about this? Like, are we making a bigger deal out of it than it really is? And like, I guess we're also just concerned that if we do bring it up with them or if my husband does like talk to his parents about this, then like, what if that turns into a volatile conversation? And
it could, but I think your husband can say to them, you know, my goal here is just continue to reiterate. My goal here is to have the best relationship with you possible under my terms. I'm an adult. I've chosen to live this way. I love my wife. And I really want to be in your life. Please help me do that. And they will push back and they might not talk to you guys for a while. And it's going to be rocky because they're going to make it that way. They could take an easy choice, but sadly, a lot of people don't do that. I think that it might get rocky for a minute, but ultimately, you know, you're adults. You need to pave your own way and stand by that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think lying about being Mormon is going to sustain itself.
No, not at all.
It's also
no,
contradictory to why you probably have moved on.
Yeah, and it would, it won't, exactly. You're going to get caught and then find yourself in a bigger mess. Somebody's going to say something, you know, that you guys had a beer at a thing or whatever, and it's it won't last very long at all, and then it'll cause a bigger mess. Because, you know, like,
it's so sad to me that his mom would choose, like, God or you know, something that she's never met over her own son. That is so sad to me. It's like such a bummer. That is so not, I'm sure not even the tenets of the religion she's following. That's so strange.
Yeah.
No, it's not at all.
Yeah, but that's yeah. You're talking to like a very intense atheist, so I'm probably not the person to offer you compassion.
No,
you
actually are the person.
Yeah,
though.
This is why. I mean, that's so kind of.
It's such a cloak.
Yeah, it's also the fact that you, as you were describing, like what happens when you leave the Mormon Church, it's like to keep people in is a threat. There's this looming threat of punishment. Which is just that's not faith, that's not love in some higher power, that's enslavement, to be honest. That's like capturing someone and saying, now you owe 10% of your income and whatever else, and your time and your passion.
You are so right.
And that's just not I personally, on a moral standpoint, I don't think that's right. But also it's just such a sort of sinister way of doing things. And you know, that's obviously my exterior judgment of the situation. I'm sure there's wonderful Mormon people in the church, and they're all doing great things. But I don't know. I'm not going to be your husband. I'm not going to be you having that discussion with his mom. But the idea, you know, potentially to remind her is, think about who you're choosing to support, your own kin or this other community. And if her answer is the other community, I think you, as bold adults who are now clear of this sort of pattern of behavior that the church has indoctrinated into you, you are allowed to say, okay, sure, we're not, you know, that might have to be that for a while until maybe she misses it.
Yeah.
Hopefully she comes around. But if she doesn't, you have to be bold enough to say that you're okay with it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just mine.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the only way to live. I think personally, though, if your husband does talk to her and talk to his parents, I think that personally I would avoid the
choice thing.
Choice
yeah,
thing.
That's my
I think
bet.
It's so important to acknowledge, to know, for, you know, for you, Kelly, to know that's what's happening, but and for your husband to know. But I think that when you approach, the approach should be more like, how can we have the best relationship? Yeah. I want to be in your life. And if you don't want me in your life, that is heartbreaking, but that's the choice you're making. I guess now I'm circling back to going to choice again.
No, but start the conversation with questions and start it with empathy, that you'll get so much more farther than with anger and hostility and accusation. And you may have to take a few breaths during.
Yeah, you guys are going to have to be the more generous people in this thing. And it's sad. It's frustrating. I'm sorry. Oy.
Kelly, I'm so sorry, but are you okay with this advice?
And I'm really glad that you guys are brave.
You guys really helped so much, cuz we just didn't really know how to even breach the subject and talk to them about it. So the advice you guys gave was like just what we needed to hear. And if we were still Mormon, we'd be like, oh, it's an answer to prayer. Yay. Like, we got an answer.
Well, you know, one of those days you'll find those golden tablets and there you go.
I'm really impressed that you guys are really strong in this situation. You know, that takes a lot of courage, because you're clearly surrounded by other people who want to do what you guys are doing but are too scared. And so good for you for doing what you're doing and living the way you guys want to live.
Yeah, man. Totally. Yeah. It's time to go Utah adjacent.
Yeah.
Kelly, thank you so much.
Kelly, thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. You guys are awesome.
We love you. Keep us posted.
Love you too. Okay, we will.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
I really do love the people we talk to.
I know. They're so great. We seriously have the best listeners ever.
Yeah.
I give them a C+. I'm gonna take that stance. Kidding. What a dream she was.
All right, we're gonna have one more call here coming up in a second. Let me just hook it up. You guys can talk amongst yourselves.
Would you date a gal who believed in reincarnation?
It depends how devoutly and how much it sort of filtered, how much of her life filtered through that belief. It's not impossible, but what I've noticed about religion is that's the prescription of lenses in which you view the world, right? Something good happens, praise be to God. Something bad happens to me, why is God punishing me? And if everything was attributed to, well, don't worry, I mean, next life I might come back as a beetle, and you know, now I don't have responsibility for what
no,
I just
she,
said.
No, she was Cleopatra.
What? From ancient Egypt?
Uh-huh.
Oh, rumor has it, she was fine. I don't think anyone from ancient civilization was fine. I mean, you just look at old photos from like the late 1900s and you're like, oh, dearie,
when
dearie
do you
me.
Think, like, I guess when our dentistry got better, that smiling
Smiles
became
a part of it.
Fashionable.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if I didn't have braces 6 years of it growing up, my teeth would be all over the place.
Yeah.
They're currently slipping again. I'm going to have to get Invisalign or something.
I mean, I know, me too.
I've got good old British teeth. I do.
I had the whole works. Retainers, headgear.
Top to bottom. Nothing about me is real anymore, sweetheart. Have to breathe through
including
too.
Your throat?
I gotta breathe through this too. Yeah. But I look so nice.
Okay.
All right, ready? Should we call Katie?
Oh, yeah.
Now we're calling Katie. I messed up before, but this is for sure Katie. She is 24, and she's in New York.
New York, the big city?
New York, the big city, the Big Apple. Have you lived there, by the way?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit, but...
Hello?
Hey, Katie, it's Sim. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. This is Anna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking our call. And we've got Thomas Middleditch here.
Hi, I'm an actor.
Hello.
I'm an actor on a show called Silicon Valley.
Have you seen
it? Yes.
Katie, it's so good.
It's fine if you haven't. I don't mind. I really don't. You're probably better off not watching a lot of TV.
I have watched it. I really like it.
Have watched it. Not a fan. That's fine.
You know what? I have some comments and critiques, but otherwise, it's okay.
That's okay. Don't air them now. I'm very fragile. Keep them to yourself and discuss them with your friends. Oh, it's nighttime over there in the Big Apple.
It is nighttime.
Yeah.
Oh my God, are you in a taxi cab going to the latest hot joint?
Yes, in fact I am.
Cool.
Okay, all right, Katie, tell us about this new guy you're dating.
Okay, so I met this guy like a little bit over a month ago through a mutual friend, and you know, we started hanging out, spending a lot of time together. We just hit it off really well right away. And, you know, he would come see all my shows that I was in. He was like coming out to brunch with my friends and stuff. And so it's like going really well. And I was like, oh, okay. I think this is going to like be a thing. And then my mutual friend who, lives in the same apartment building as him, she told me like a couple weeks into it that she like found out that he had gone on a date with another girl, which like I was upset at first, and I was like, well, technically, you know, we're not exclusive, we hadn't even like had that conversation yet. I had just like kind of assumed that like we were, because he was acting very relationshipy. And so yeah, so then I was like, okay, well, like, let me just talk to him about it, because we hadn't talked about it yet. And I found out that he was like kind of recently out of a long on again off again relationship.
Oh, so, wait, recently,
yeah.
He's still on again, off again?
Yeah, well, so he had, like, moved into this apartment building that my friend also lives in, because he had, like, been moving out of, like, living with her. And they had been, like, on again, off again for 6 years, but he was like, but it's definitely over, like, you know, it's over for real this time, and was, like, very adamant about that.
Was that the person that your friend had seen him with or something? Or is there another girl?
No, this was like another girl. So I think it's just like that he was in a relationship for a long time and is single again for like the first time. But like, I know that like, you know, we have this connection, like I know that he really likes me, but I think like he's just kind of in a place where he's like, I'm single now. I want to be single and like date a lot of people. I'm like, what's Tinder? And like, let me go on dates. So I was like, all right, well, you know what? Like, technically, we weren't exclusive when we did this. Like, And so I was like, you know, as long as like, you know, just be like open with me. Like, I want to make sure that I'm safe. Like, you know, I was like, I'm personally not sleeping around with like a million people. Like, I hope you're not either. But like, technically we had just started dating. It only been like a couple weeks. So I didn't want to be like, you can't go on dates with anybody else. But then like, I don't know. So we like talked about it, and then we like, things went back to normal. And then like about like a week or so ago, my friend tells me again that he had gone out with another girl. And
what is wrong with your friend here?
That's the other problem, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a two-part problem.
This is a two-part problem. Because my friend who keeps telling me this
is the person he's going on dates with.
Yeah. I was like, ask her to stop, because like, you know, technically, when you just start dating someone, like, I have a lot of friends that are now in serious relationships.
Yeah, you don't need to know
people,
these details. This is
right,
like,
exactly.
Really,
and
like,
she was including like
unuseful information
so
for
much
you.
Information.
What was she saying about the girls that he was going out with?
Oh,
she was going
man.
Into detail.
Well, oh yeah, it was so bad. I had to literally just be like, "Please stop talking," and she wouldn't.
Your friend is too much here. Your friend seems like the bigger problem here.
What are you more upset about? Are you more upset about your friend giving you all of this information, or are you more upset about this guy that you like that continues to go on dates?
I guess it's a combination of both, because like, I mean, I'm upset that he's going out on dates with other girls, but I know that he really likes me because, so I kind of was like, tried to end it with him after the second time because
you're frustrated.
I just was feeling like, yeah. But then I saw him earlier this week, because like I had left something at his apartment, so we like met up so he could give back to me, and he was being like really apologetic and like seeming like he really wanted us to like hang out and reconnect, and like, and I was thinking like, you know, if my friend hadn't told me all this stuff, like, you know,
you'd be in a happier mental space, because you'd probably be happier. I think that you're crushing pretty hard on this guy, and he might want to be single. This is maybe what I suspect here.
He probably wants a bit of both. Speaking as a guy who's wanted both at one point.
Okay.
You want love, but then you're also like, but I also like having sex with other with
right.
A ton
like
of
when
stuff.
He sees me, he like wants to act like we're boyfriend and girlfriend, but he also like wants to like go on dates with other people.
How do you feel about if he outright said that? What would you say?
I would be like, okay, well, that's not what I want. So,
okay,
let's call this. Yeah, I mean, like, I like him, and I think we have a good connection. I just think it might be one of those things, like, the timing isn't right.
Yeah, fair enough. Because some people would say that doesn't bother me, and some people would say that's a major issue. So it's important that you just kind of know where you stand.
I think it's important to recognize this where this guy is in his life right now, so you can protect your heart.
Totally.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying don't date him, because I think you like him and you enjoy spending time with him. And who knows, he, you know,
yeah, he'd take his shirt off.
But you know what? Like, maybe if you know, it could be the kind of thing where in a few months, if you guys are having a great time, that he wants to hang exclusively with you, but.
Yeah.
But that is sort of a side issue. Right now, I think you have to tell your friend, I think you have to have a heart-to-heart with her and say, listen, you know, I know you probably saw that I was getting upset when you told me about the other girls, and I just, I want to be your friend. I want to keep our friendship, but you got to understand that it messed with my feelings towards him, which really kind of ultimately upsets me. And I'm not quite sure what your motivation was. I don't know if you want to have that kind of heart to heart with her.
Well, did you want to know that? Would you want to know that information or not at all?
I think everyone wants to. I like it.
Sometimes I don't.
No, I don't. I'm at a place where I don't want to. No, like I've curbed my curiosity, but I think it's one of those things. Like once you start pulling that thread, if she drops a little hint, like
no,
if the
friend,
oh well, that's what she would do,
right?
And I'd be the thing where it'd be like, well, I mean, I'm like, I don't want to know, but you've mentioned it,
right.
Like now I have
now,
to,
right?
You have to tell me,
yeah,
right. I think that I think that if she's a friend that's worth having, I think, you know, sort of laying it out for her, because I mean, you're young, and she's probably young. I don't know if she is the best person to have in your like. I
don't
feel like,
say that she's not the best person to have in your life.
Well, really,
she's your friend.
How long have you known this friend for?
I just think a friend who does that isn't the best.
Needs to
person.
Be axed.
Yeah.
She's,
I do.
Wait, what if she's being a good friend? What if she's saying, hey, you should know this about this guy
if
that he's going
out with? She's talking about, no.
You think she's, maybe she's coming from a good place.
There's a way to do that then.
Okay.
There's a way to do that. It just, and I think that that's when you say something like, I'm not sure, but I heard that, you know, so-and-so was still dating. I feel weird about saying this to you, but I just want you to know because I love you.
Yeah.
That's how to do it. That's how
I
you
feel
do
like,
it. You
yeah.
know?
No, I totally agree. And I think, like, if I do decide to kind of give this guy a second chance, then I would definitely want to talk to her about it because, like, she's so wrapped up in that social circle. And, like, I think I know she means well, but, like, she's also, like, not from America. And I think it might partially be, like, a cultural thing where, like, she's just
well,
very
first
blunt
ask for her
and
green
just
card.
Says everything at first.
First make sure she's fucking legal, dude. I'm kidding. Because if she's not legal, her advice is fucking null to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to make a few calls.
Yeah.
Well, maybe then you just, maybe you don't have, I don't know. I mean, depending, maybe you don't, maybe you're not ready for that kind of in-depth, like, conversation, but maybe you just sort of, like, it's like a gently.
There's nothing wrong
gently,
with establishing boundaries. Saying,
yes.
Hey, that's cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool of you to think of me like that, but I have like a TMI meter and you kind of went into the red zone. So
yeah.
You got to keep it in the green.
That's a great way to put it.
But can we get back to the like the other big question that's looming? Is
when
that,
are you guys getting married?
That and like, are you cool with this? The fact that he's, you know, dating other girls?
No, I'm answering for her that she's not, but she likes him enough that her override is coming.
So the
into
override,
play here.
So she's cool with it then, and she's cool with him.
She's
dating
not
other
cool
girl.
With it, but she likes him so much that she wants to force herself to be cool with it. Am I right, Katie? I'm trying to put
like
myself
I
in your
would.
Shoes. Because there's nothing wrong with liking, with crushing hard on somebody, and. Wanting to spend a lot of time with them. There's nothing wrong with that.
Knowing that he's going out with other girls.
Here's the trick, though. I think, like, you know, when you're dating and you're kind of in a world where other people are probably dating multiple people at the same time,
yeah.
you know, because it's the city, it's the Big Apple. There's a kind of, you kind of need a little dose of delusion. Like, you don't want to know all that. You expect it, but don't want to know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as long as you keep a little bit of wool over your eyes, you're like
which
safe.
Which is where the friend is not coming, you know, friend
that's
is,
totally, she pulled the wool over.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe say, hey, to the guy, I'll see you in a little bit. You know, maybe it'll come back around. And then, you know, you get back on Bumble. We were talking about it earlier because the girls reach out to the guys on Bumble.
Do you think that have you guys had like a, when you talked to him about it or have you guys had like a potential relationship ending conversation where that you feel like you now have to come back from that moment? Do you know what I'm saying?
The last time I saw him, I just kind of was like, you know, like maybe we should just like, be more like friends. Like, I think you need to be single right now. And like, I think I want like more than that. And then, you know, that was like maybe like a week and a half ago. And then I saw him earlier this week and he seemed
and
like
that's
he,
when he was apologetic.
Really wanted to like,
right. I think that you give it a shot. If you're enjoying spending time with him, I think reach out to him again.
You can.
Am I
you
crazy?
Can. No, not crazy at all. I hate this because this is very dismissive. This is going to sound so patronizing, but you're 24. I mean, there's so many more opportunities to fall in love.
Yeah, are you dating other people?
I mean, like, I'm on, like, apps, but, like, not, I don't know. I'm, like, so busy. So that was, like, kind of part of why it was nice because, like, you know, I just had this, like, one person I could focus on and, like, see a couple times a week.
Right.
But, so it's, like, it was nice to meet someone who I like connected with right away because it was just easy and I could focus on the stuff that I like really want to be focusing on.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's exciting to meet someone you actually like. Cause out of 40 people
this
you
is,
meet,
this
you
is
only
what
might
sucks
one.
About dating. You like someone a lot and then you realize that, oh, of course I like him and he's a, you know, he's a great guy. That's why he's dating other girls and he's single and he should. Why the hell not? But
right.
know, it's like, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. And
like, I don't think he's a bad guy. Like I think like, you know, that's like, I wouldn't like him if he was a bad guy.
Right.
I think, you know, he's just figuring it out and like, that's his right. I just know for me, I just, it hurts my feelings too much. Like, knowing that he's going out with other people.
Yeah. Well,
you join in on all the dating, and it kind of turns into like a collective kind of like really fun night that you won't forget.
I think if you can distract yourself by sort of reaching out to other people, it may not be as satisfying at all to spending time with the dude, but I think that's, but I also think too that, you know, maybe if the timing is right, like reach out to him again, say you want to hang out.
Nothing in life has to be 100% black or white, you know?
Yeah.
You can live in that 50 Shades of Grey. It's an erotic novel, and it's been made into a series of movies. But it's about this kind of thing. It's very sexy, I hear.
You're like the studio exec whose like dad is like a massive mogul.
Yeah. Or I'm the studio exec's dad, and I'm like, we should do that do you think they do that as a maybe a comic book? Tyler, you should call your studio and see if they do it as a comic book. It's called 50 Shades of, I don't know, Red or something.
All right, let's wrap it up with Katie. So Katie, tell her what she should do.
Oh, I just have fun, and I know I wouldn't close the door on this guy at all. I would be wary of your friend, and definitely create some boundaries with that. But I don't think, you know, I know it might be tempting to like pin everything on her, but I don't think you can necessarily do that. But I would be wary, maybe a little bit of her intentions. She may be a little jealous of you, because I think that kind of behavior tends to come from jealousy. Potentially, Thomas is cocking his head like he might disagree with me.
Maybe. I think many well-intentioned things have negative consequences. She may genuinely be like, I think you would want to know because I would want to know, and everybody's like me, right?
Yeah,
that's how humans think.
You're
right?
Totally right.
Right.
So I mean, there's nothing.
And she's actually said that like a couple times.
Right.
So.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with you establishing a couple boundaries. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the guy, I don't know. You always said you got to know your own limits. Sounds like you're very busy and career minded, and I applaud that and go after that. And then whoever can make it on the side. Buddy, you had fun. Just stay safe out there. It's New York City. People have all kinds of things.
Thanks, Katie. We love you.
Thank you guys so much. I love you, Anna. Thank you guys.
I love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thomas, you did great.
That was great.
You did great out there.
You think I did okay?
You did amazing. Whew. You were great.
People's lives were just dancing in the palms of our hands.
You took care of it.
It's, yeah, I know.
So fragile, it's like holding a little baby chick and you can just snap its neck and kill it.
Before we go, let's talk about his TV show, which is my favorite TV show. I told you this earlier.
It's most people's favorite TV show.
I know.
Yeah, I'll agree. Yeah.
What question impressed stuff do you get asked all the time?
What question?
Yeah, do you get like is there a common question that you get asked all the time?
At the beginning, it was always like, hey, so if you had an app, would it be? That was always frustrating because either they wanted a joke, they wanted a zinger, which I never, that's a tough setup for a really solid zinger. But also, if they wanted a real answer, like I wouldn't be here if I had a $1 billion app, I'd be off in Silicon Valley making $1 billion. You fucking idiot. And then I slap the microphone out of their hand, shove them in, hopefully a nearby puddle, and say, and I point to the red carpet and I go, oh, this is meaningless, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And I pull down the backdrop, the step and repeat. It's called a step and repeat. For any of you who don't know, when you see actors in front of this little backdrop with all the little logos, it's called a step and repeat. And I threw it down, and I point to like the genitals of all like all the publicists around. I say, look at them all, and everyone's like, what does he mean by that? I'm like, everything. And then I grab a camera of like, and Ryan Seacrest is there. I'm like, you shouldn't be here. And he's like, I'm not really. I haven't been here in years. You should get your references straight. And I go, it doesn't matter. And then I go on stage and accept someone else's award, like that guy from Atlanta did to us at the Critics' Choice Awards. You know, Hollywood is fun for a number of reasons.
It's I love that.
Sunday nights on HBO.
Sunday nights. You by the time this airs, right, you will have all seen the first episode.
Yes.
Send your reviews in to www.siliconvalleyreviews.com. There's a brief sign-up page, but it's pretty seamless after that.
Thanks, Thomas. Oh wait, can we tell? Do you swear? You don't really.
I swore even on this podcast.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was too busy listening to myself.
Yeah.
But we like to tell Sim say a unison "fuck you," and it means a lot today because Sim and I actually got into a fight earlier,
and he
wouldn't apologize. He was in the wrong.
It's not true.
Well, everyone's in the wrong in a fight.
Yeah.
It's the first lesson of fighting.
Yeah, but no, I have witnesses. This is legit.
This is not legit.
It's legit. You came into the house and you just started tearing.
So fuck you, Sim, on a 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Fuck you, Sim.
Follow us on Unqualified, all social media. Leave us a review. Thank you so much. And
thank you,
Thomas Middleditch, Silicon Valley, Sunday nights on HBO.
Yeah, yeah.
And HBO Go.
Huh?
Bye.
Bye.